Well, this morning we're continuing talking about not being a fan. Who thought of not being a fan this weekend after seeing Oregon's Beavers game? When I was younger, some of you know this, I was a skater, skateboarder. And, you know, there's certain skateboarders that were really, really good. Anybody know the name Tony Hawk? You probably know the name because someone's patented it and put it on bicycles and Nintendo and all of that. But Tony Hawk is probably one of the best skateboarders that I've ever seen. And I was a fan of Tony Hawk. Now, I thought about this just this morning as I was preparing, and I thought of what we're talking about this week and the next few weeks is being a fan is different than being a follower. Knowing about somebody is different than knowing them. I don't know Tony Hawk. In fact, when I was his fan, I don't think I really cared to know him. I would like to be him and skate like him, maybe. But I really didn't think through, oh yeah, I'd really like to know him unless I could skate with him and he would teach me things, right? So I was more of a fan of Tony Hawk, and I didn't really care to know him. And that's what we want to talk about this morning is not just knowing Jesus, knowing about Jesus, but knowing Jesus. I think that's what's going on in John 3. If you want to turn with me, that's where we're going to stay for most of the day and just look at a story about Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a man that was a religious, he was a Pharisee. He believed in the scriptures. He knew them. He was knowledgeable. He was well known, and yet he didn't know Jesus. So let's look at John 3, 1 through 21 to start off this morning. Let me pray. Father, as we've prayed already and we continue to pray, I ask that your word would go forth. That your words would speak, that they would not just fall to the ground, but they would impact our lives, that we would become less of a fan and more of a follower this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Starting in verse 1, chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Very truly means, I am telling you the truth. And it says that three times in this passage. Very truly, Jesus says this. Verse 4, "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked, "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you," I'm telling you the truth, "no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying, you must be born again. The winds blow wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. Jesus says, "You are Israel's teacher, and Do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear of their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. At this point, Nicodemus was a fan. He was also a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee. He had been an admirer of Jesus, and he'd been doing that for some time in secret. He'd been listening to things Jesus had said, and he'd been seeing all the miracles that Jesus had done. And we'll just call him Nick. Nick was inspired by Jesus. He was ready to take, but he was ready to take his relationship to the next level. I'm going to owe Susan a Starbucks coffee this morning. I scared her. No. So when I met Susan, it was at college, and she walked onto campus, and I said hello to her in so many words. I said, "Are you a new student?" And she said, "No, but you must be." And so from there on, love at first sight, I pursued her. And I was a sophomore, but I was hanging out with the freshmen. She was a senior, and they lived off campus, sort of. They lived across the highway. And I found out that the seniors were having open dorms. So I talked my buddies into getting into their car, and we drove over, and we started going from dorm to dorm. I didn't tell them that I was looking for a specific lady. And I found her. I found her dorm. I found her desk. I started looking around her desk. And, yeah, good grief. I was stalking her, right? Yes. Well, I found her, and she had a great smile. Beautiful curly red hair, and of course, she was a senior. All right. I followed her around like a puppy dog for a while. I asked all the senior guys about her. I did my research. Of course, I stalked her. I got all this information about her. But I really didn't get to know her when I did that. I pursued her, but I didn't know her, not yet. Knowing her would have actually been to go up and talk with her, which I eventually did. After that, I spent a whopping 3 months getting to know her, and then I asked her to marry me. Yeah, you can scoff all you want. But I decided to go from a pursuer, stalker, admirer of someone who was committed to someone who was committed to her. Knowing her and letting that deepen, and also allowing her to know me, this is a picture of a committed relationship. I pulled some vows, a wedding. I'm not sure these were our vows, but this is what a vow would say. I, Matt Coleman, take you, Susan, to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold, from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish so long as we both shall live according to God's holy word, and therefore give you my pledge. Wow. Sentiment, right? But this is the relationship where it should look like this, right? It should look like that. Come after me, Jesus says. A passionate pursuit. My question is, could we tell stories? Could I tell stories about my pursuit of Jesus like I just told you about my pursuit with Susan? I hope so, because Jesus is worth it. He is worth pursuing. And Nicodemus is getting to this place where he has to decide. He comes to Jesus and he says, what does this all mean? And Jesus says, you have to be born again. You have to pursue me. You have to follow me and not just be this secret admirer or this person that stalks me or whatever, right? The decision that Nicodemus was going to make would cost him. It would cost him his reputation. It would cost him his wealth. It would cost him his comfort. It would cost him his self-centered lifestyle. It would cost him his friends, his status, even his religion. And so Nicodemus was conflicted. And he was conflicted and he didn't understand what Jesus was saying. What does this mean? Born again? I don't understand. Well, I want to show you a clip of a remastered, a made of Jesus and Nicodemus. Let's watch.
While Jesus was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in him as they saw the miracles he performed. But Jesus did not trust himself to them because he knew them all. There was no need for anyone to tell him about them because he himself knew what was in their hearts. There was a Jewish leader named Nicodemus who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. One night, he went to Jesus.
Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you are doing unless God were with him.
I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again.
How can a grown man be born again? He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time.
I am telling you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but is born spiritually of the Spirit.
Do not be surprised because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. It is like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit. How can this be? You are a great teacher in Israel, and you don't know this. I am telling you the truth. We speak of what we know and report what we have seen. Yet none of you is willing to accept our message.
you do not believe me when I tell you about the things of this world. How will you ever believe me then when I tell you about the things of heaven? And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life.
For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Savior. Those who believe in the Son are not judged, but those who do not believe have already been judged, because they have not believed in God's only Son. This is how the judgment works. The light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. Those who do evil things hate the light and will not come to the light, because they do not want their evil deed to be shown up. But those who do what is true come to the light, in order that the light may show that what they did was in obedience to God.
And so Nicodemus was at that place with, as we talked about last week, that DTR, determine the relationship moment, where he had to make a decision. Am I going to be a fan of Jesus, or am I going to be a follower of him? In fact, we're going to see that Nicodemus becomes a follower. But why did Nicodemus come to Jesus at night? Because he had not committed to Jesus yet. He was secretly following Jesus because he didn't want to lose everything. Coming to Jesus at night would avoid, you know, the awkward questions from other religious leaders. He could spend time with Jesus alone, his relationship with Jesus, without having to make major changes. He could then follow without impacting his job. Friends or family wouldn't even know about it. It wouldn't interrupt his comfort or his established life. Nicodemus is about to hear something that will change his life. There's no way to follow Jesus without Jesus interfering with your life. There's no way to follow Jesus unless he can interrupt your comfort, unless he can interrupt your selfish life. Nick had made a decision about Jesus, but that's not the same as following him. Jesus would not accept a relationship with Nicodemus where he simply just believed. Jesus wanted Nicodemus to follow him. Jesus didn't want Nick just at night, in private. Jesus wanted Nick during the day, in public, not just on Sunday, but every day. In Matthew 15, 8 through 9, Jesus has other conversations with other religious leaders, other Pharisees, and he says this. He says, hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You see, Jesus wants our heart, not our knowledge, not what we know about him, but that we know him. There's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Now think about the concept of being born again. I mean, when we're born, there's a clean slate, right? There's no history that haunts us. We are completely dependent. We are humble. We are submissive, lovable. Transformation is what Jesus wants. Metamorphosis is what Jesus is talking about. Is that we are transformed and made new. We are reborn. Spiritually speaking, we are changed. And so if you and I are not changing in our Christ-following life, then we are not in the process of being reborn. There's the physical realm and there's the spiritual realm. Right now, we are in the physical realm, but we get glimpses of the spiritual realm. And so we are in the process, when we come to Christ, it's like the beginning stages of being born again. And when Jesus comes again, the completion, it will be complete. We will be whole. We will be sinless, and there will not be any pain and sorrow in our lives. And so what Jesus is talking about to Nicodemus is he's talking to us too. And he says, this life that you had before cannot continue. It needs to stop. The life, you need to be changed and renewed. And your life is not yours. It's not yours anymore. And so Jesus essentially says, no more unforgiveness, no more backbiting, no more lust, no more selfish ways, no more pride, no more ego. I want you to be reborn, clean slate. And so if you think about, I was talking to someone this week about this, we all fall short of God's glory. We all have sinned. And a lot of times, we as humans will say like, well, I didn't do what they did, and so therefore I'm better, right? But the problem is that Jesus doesn't look at my standard and somebody else's standard. Jesus looks at God's standard. And God's standard is way up here. We can't reach it. And so if you think about a court of law, and if you were sitting on the stand and you had done something wrong, you stole something from the store, or you know, whatever it is, maybe you stole a car and you owe $150,000 in a fine and you got to go to prison for 3 years. And you're on the stand and the judge says, what do you have to say about this? Well, I'm guilty, I guess. You know, some people may say not guilty, right? But obviously the person, if you're the person, you're guilty. And so if the judge is a good judge, right, he has to give you a consequence. You have to pay for your crime. And so a good judge would say you got to pay $150,000 and you got to go to jail for 3 years. But see, what happens with the gospel is Jesus walks in the door and he says, I'll pay the $150,000 and I'll go to prison for that person for 3 years. And so the standard is way up here, and yet Jesus pays for us for our sin. And that is what being born again means, is when we decide that we're not going to be a fan anymore, and when we decide that we want to believe in Jesus, he comes in and pays our debt, and we can be with him. When I was growing up, when I was 5, I accepted the Lord in my heart. And I believe that he loved me, I knew that he cared about me, but I was really an admirer of Jesus. I really was just a fan of Jesus all my childhood years. I mean, I did the right things. I wanted to do the right things. I wanted to follow him. But really, it didn't cost me much. My family was already going to church. I was already in a Christian home. And so it didn't cost me anything. But what happened was, I realized when I was getting closer to my adult years, I realized I don't know what I want to do with my life. I don't know where I'm going. I'm a little scared. And I'm realizing that I needed to make Jesus more than just something that I admire. And so between 16 and 19 years old, I decided that I'm going to commit to the Lord and make Him my all in all. I was going to be His follower. And I can tell you today that I have not looked back. I have not gone back to the admirer. I've probably not followed through and obeyed Him, but it was this reborn, this changing, this transformation, this metamorphosis that God changed in me and made me into His follower. And so Nicodemus eventually spoke up. And he eventually followed Jesus in public. He got to a place where he didn't care about his reputation or about what the other religious leaders thought. And in fact, in John 7, verse 50 through 52, you see that they're in this place where the rubber meets the road. And Nicodemus has to speak up. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." So basically, Nicodemus was part of the group, and they were accusing Jesus. They were trying to get Jesus in trouble. And Nicodemus spoke up and said, "Look, we need to look into this." And they mocked Nicodemus. And they said, "Well, you're from Galilee too, because nothing good comes out of Galilee in their mind. At this point, he was a public follower of Jesus. He became a complete follower. He sacrificed his reputation, his respect, his honor, his wealth, and eventually his life. And in John 19, if you didn't know this, John 19, 38 through 40 tells us that he joined Joseph in wrapping Jesus' body. And let's look. In verse 38, later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with spices in the strips of linen. There was no longer any hiding Nicodemus' affection. He proved that he was a follower of Jesus by just going and wrapping Jesus' body, because he could have been accused, and eventually he was martyred for being a follower of Jesus. When others have abandoned Jesus and were hiding in fear, Nicodemus makes this great gesture of devotion. Things have moved past words of belief expressed in darkness of light. He was no longer a secret admirer. He wasn't just an enthusiastic admirer. He wasn't a stalker anymore. It seems he had become a follower of Jesus. And so if you have believed in the dark, Jesus now invites you to follow him in the light, to truly become a follower and not a fan. Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to to give up your reputation or your respect or your honor to follow Jesus. There's a story I want to share with you. His name is Vijaya Warrior. I remember when my wife started going to church, it wasn't something I believed in or wanted to have anything to do with. I agreed to drive her to church, but I just stayed in the car and smoked a few cigarettes. Sometimes my thoughts would wander to growing up in India and being raised in the Hindu faith. My mother was a priestess in a temple, and as a boy I believed that the gods had given me favor. I was born as a Brahmin, the highest caste of priests. My marriage had been arranged, but her name is Grija. My wife knew that our marriage wasn't just a forced agreement that was set up by our parents. There was a chemistry between us. I tried to be patient with her interest in the Bible. Grija had attended a Christian school some years back, and that was how she first learned about Jesus. Our differing beliefs didn't help our unity in marriage. Looking back on the first 10 years together, I see mostly conflict and frustration. In 05, Gurja was going to church every weekend. I'm not sure why, but one weekend, instead of sitting in the car smoking, I decided to go inside for a cup of coffee. There was a small cafe in the church where I sat with my coffee, and I couldn't help but overhear the sermon that was being broadcast from the sanctuary onto the video screen in front of me. I listened to the preacher for a while, intrigued by his words. From that point on, I sat in the cafe each Sunday morning, drinking coffee and listening to the sermons. One week, Gurja asked me to come with her to a prayer room. She said, "We have many problems. We need someone to pray with us." Even though I didn't believe in this kind of prayer, I went with her. In the prayer room, we met a husband and wife named Lynn and Carol, and they spent time praying for us. Full of questions after hearing so many sermons, I began to ask Lynn about Christianity. Over the next year, he and Carol answered many of my questions. Lynn studied the Bible with me, praying for me often. Still, I wasn't familiar with the idea of just one God. This went against everything I had learned as a boy. Even worse, I knew that if I were to become a Christian, my family back in India would disown me. They would be very disappointed in me. But after much studying, prayer, and support from church members, I began to realize something incredible. For 42 years, I had been looking for something, for someone. That person was Jesus. I decided to allow him to work in me. I needed it. My marriage needed it. We'd already had divorce papers drawn up and begun living separately. It was now or never, and I knew only Jesus could save me. So the next Sunday, I professed my belief in Christ and was baptized. Right after being baptized, I baptized my two sons, who also chose to believe. That same day, I moved back in with my family. God has a plan for me, and He can heal all my wounds and answer all my questions. My name is Vijaya Warrior, and I am not a fan. So my question this morning is, are you not a fan of Jesus? Because Jesus is not in the business of having a bunch of fans. He doesn't. It's just not what he's asking. He's asking for followers. He's asking for people to die to themselves, to pick up the cross, and to follow him. And what does that look like? Well, it means to do what he says, to obey him, to read scripture, and he'll tell us in scripture what to do. I want to end this morning with a song, and I want you to spend some time just in contemplation and thinking about you and the Lord and your relationship, and asking yourself, is this authentic? Is this true? The song is called I Surrender All. And so I want you to just spend some time in prayer as you listen to this song. Okay? Let's do that. You pray with me. Maybe this morning you're wanting to do just that. Maybe you're here this morning and God's been tugging on your heart, and you want to surrender it all and become a follower of Him, a follower of Jesus. I want to invite you to talk talk with me afterwards if you want, and we can pray. If you maybe this morning you're here and you've been just kind of mundane and just complacent in your walk with Jesus, and maybe this is the time to do that, is to transition from being that fan and becoming a follower of Him. Lord Jesus, I just pray that You would help us, that You would help us to come to the feet of You, to surrender all. Lord, I just pray that You would help us to not be a fan anymore, but to be an authentic follower of Jesus. Lord, help us to give up our selfish ways, our self-centeredness, our desires, our time that we want to control, our lives that we want to make everything perfect and comfortable. And I pray that You would help us to be Your followers. And we just we thank You for Your the sacrifice that you gave Your Son Jesus to die on the cross, and we can have freedom and we can have life, and we just are so grateful for that. And so, Lord, we just give You our hearts. We want to follow You from this day forward. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.